Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Thanks for joining us. It's me, Bruce Millington, this week with David Jennings and Graham Rodway from the Racing Post and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. Loads to get through. The spotlight shines on Lingfield this weekend. It's Derby and Oaks trial day there. And we've also got ITV4 action from Ascot and Haydock. There's some really good stuff away from the ITV cameras as well. We'll see what the lads have got there. We'll get all the Saturday naps. And then on Sunday, classic clues at Leopardstown with the Derby and Oaks trials there. So, tons to be getting on with. First of all, though, I do want to say how pleased I am that the producer of today's show is Dan Walsh. Dan is a friend of the show, an integral part of it, and I'm afraid he has really had a torrid time with COVID. So is his family. But it's great to have Dan back. Dan, we're delighted to have you back on the show again, mate, and it's all good. We hope it's onwards and upwards from here for you. Okay, first up at Lingfield, then, the 2:15 is the Oaks trial. It's sponsored by Novibet. The trip is just short of a mile and a half. The going at the moment is good, but there is a ton of rain forecast. And I think you do need to factor that in wherever you're betting this weekend, because I looked at the forecast today and this massive, great wodge of blue came hurtling across the screens. Just how much effect it will have at Lingfield remains to be seen, but do keep an eye on that. Anyway, without further ado, Graham Temple, take us through Paddy Power's latest prices on the Oaks trial.
Yeah, the 2:15 at Lingfield. Technique tops our market at 9-4. Nasha for Charlie Appleby, 7-2. 9-2, Loving Dream, 5-1 after that Ocean Road. And it's 10-1 bar those, Bruce.
Graham Rodway, you can go first. How are you anyway? Are you feeling confident going into the weekend?
Yeah, very, very, very well, Bruce. I can't say I'm that confident, really, but sometimes that's when I'm at my most dangerous. So hopefully that is the case this week. And we're kicking off with the Oaks trial, aren't we? Yeah. Always one of the highlights at Lingfield, isn't it? Oaks and Derby trial day. I think that Ocean Road might win this race. Hugo Palmer handles soft ground because of a second to Noon Star on her debut. And then won tidily at Lingfield last time on the all weather, slightly below that level on Racing Post ratings. So I think she might be a little bit better on turf. Obviously, would have had to run her there, get a little bit of experience anyway into her. And I think that if the ground comes up soft, she'll really be suited by it. Now, she's making her reappearance, and Hugo Palmer's horses are one of the few trainers who actually seem to perform better off breaks than they do when they're returning quickly to the track. So the fact that she hasn't run for 157 days certainly shouldn't be considered a negative. I think she's got a huge chance. That's Ocean Road.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm just actually looking at the forecast for Lingfield. It's going to absolutely chuck it down from early tomorrow right through till race day. And as I always say about Lingfield, a sparrow just needs to urinate on that turf track and it goes heavy. So it could turn up very testing there. Okay, DJ, kick us off with a winner, my friend.
I was going to say, you're taking the piss there, Bruce. I can't believe this, Bruce, but I'm going to tip a filly this rate at 83. I'm going to tip Regent for John and Thady Gosden. Now, she's rated 83, and you think, why would they not just win a couple of handicaps with her? But I think she's done remarkably well to win her last two starts, especially last time at Lingfield, where she was so keen in the early stages. And she's still a work in progress, but I like the fact that she got the job done at Lingfield. Now, you talk about the ground, and obviously it's going to have a major bearing on the outcome, but she's a half-sister to Coronet, who won a Group 1 at Deauville on heavy ground. And she's a three-part sister to Midas Touch, and Midas Touch won his maiden at the Curragh on soft ground as well. So I think she actually will cope with the ground, hopefully, if the rain does come. And sometimes, you know, you can look into ratings and you can look into RPRs, and their RPRs are only 60, 74 and 79. But I just think in a strongly run race, hopefully with a bit of cut in the ground, she'd be fine. I think it might bring out the best in Regent. She's obviously the stable second string with Frankie on Loving Dream. But I don't know. I just don't think we've seen the best of Regent yet, Bruce. So I'm going to chance her at a double figure price.
11-1 with Paddy Power. So one vote for Ocean Road, one vote for Regent, and one vote for
I'm going for John and Thady, Gosden's other runner, Loving Dream, finished second last time out 13 days ago, beaten only 2.5 lengths behind Noon Star. Now, Noon Star is 10-1 to win the Oaks itself. Loving Dream finished clear of the third on that particular occasion. I know the ground is a bit of an unknown. I just checked the dam there. She ran quite well on yielding to soft ground at the Curra, so that's a bit of hope. I'm put off by the favourite, lads, Technique, because it finished second last time out behind Werko, and Werko was such a flop the other day at Chester that I just can't have the favourite here with Werko running so poorly the other day. So for a little bit of a dabble at current prices, I think Loving Dream at 9-2 will have to be my bet.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the Derby trial again. NovaBet sponsor that, 250. Now the last couple of winners of this have been Anthony van Dijk, who won the Derby, and English King, who was favourite for the Derby, didn't win it, but that has kind of restored the race's reputation. Now, it remains to be seen whether we've got a Derby winner in this lineup, and there's only 7 runners, but it's an open enough race and it should throw up plenty of clues before we get the tips. Let's get the betting, Graham.
Yeah, Adair tops our market at 11-8. There's been plenty of money for that one. Kyprios for Aidan O'Brien's 3-1. O'Brien's other runner, Carlisle Bay, is a 5-1 shot. It's 6-1 Scope and 10-1 Bardos.
David Jennings, what do you make of this?
Yeah, Kyprios is interesting, and I thought it was interesting that Tom Siegel put him up in his anti-post Derby column, because he seems to have his finger on the pulse with regard to the O'Brien team. And with Kyprios, like, if you take out that absolutely abysmal performance at Newmarket last autumn, you know, you'd say this is a real exciting stare. But it's just hard to get it out of your head. I do think if the rain does arrive, obviously it'll help his chances, but I think it's going to help Adair's chances as well. And I just go back to that Nottingham maiden win. It was bottomless. It was soft, but it was a horrible day. It was raining. It was yuck. And I just thought Adair loved the ground that day. He's obviously quite versatile because he ran well at Sandown in the classic trial there on good ground. I just think he's probably just a little bit better than Kyprios. Now, a little bit of a worry would be, obviously, the fact that Yabir didn't exactly frank the form during the week. But he's rated 108. He liked the ground. I think he'll improve for the extra trip. He came from a long way back at Sandown. So Adair for me, Bruce.
Thanks, DJ. Graham Temple, who's your selection?
I was looking at this race and my angle for it was a very simple one, that Ryan Moore would have had a choice between Kyprios and Carlisle Bay. Now, after looking at the two lines of form for Carlisle Bay, he reared in the stalls. He was very upset in the stalls then in his next race on the 24th of October. I think if I was a jockey and had a choice of the two, I'd go for the horse that sits calmly in the stalls and isn't likely to kill me. However, Carlisle Bay has been off for 196 days, showed plenty of talent when winning on the 3rd of October. And it wouldn't be the first time Ryan Moore picked wrong. Frankie being up is another solid plus. First time cheek pieces. And again, looking at the prices, and that's what swings my vote. 5-1 on Carlisle Bay here at each way will be my play in this race.
I very rarely get involved with letting jockey bookings put me off. I mean, we just don't know how hard the choice is, do we? It could be a real 50-50 job, and I think people can be put away on that. Graham Rodway, who do you like in the Derby trial?
Yeah, I thought this was a good race for a bet, this one, because don't really fancy the favourite Adair that much, although he was quite an eye-catching run at Sandown. I just don't think it was a strong race, though. Alan Kerr, the winner, I don't think it's outstanding. And Aidan O'Brien's got the next couple in the market, I think, and he's putting cheek pieces on them both. Aidan O'Brien's record with first-time cheek pieces since 2016, 55 runners, 3 winners.
Whoa,
he obviously doesn't know what he's doing, does he?
No, I think he's got a lot of work to do before we start calling him a good trainer.
He needs
but that's
to
a
be
hell
proved
of an
that.
Angle, that G-Rod. Very impressive, mate.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? I actually did some work. no, so the one I like is Scope.
Oh, King Rafe.
For King Rafe. Yeah, now he's never won this Derby trial, but he loves the Oaks trial, don't he? He won it 3 times, that Oaks trial. And he had Look Here beaten in that Oaks trial before going on to win the Oaks itself. So he has absolutely no bother in sending his best horses to Lingfield should they want to go on to Epsom. And I'm not sure if Scope's good enough to do that, but I think he might be good enough to win this race. He won his maiden on, or novice race, whatever they call them now, on heavy ground at Newbury. So if the rain comes, that won't be a problem. And I think he might have found the ground a little bit too quick for him last time at Newmarket. If you watch the race, he's just hanging away up the straight there as though he may be feeling the good to firm conditions. I think soft ground will really suit Scope. So he's my selection.
Thank you. DJ, what did you think of J-Rod's stat there?
What was the stat again?
It was, he's had 55 first runners with first time cheek pieces since 2016, and three have won.
Yeah, see, if you go back a little bit further though, Graham, if you went back a little bit further, you'd find a horse called Ruler of the World, who went on to win the Derby and won wore first time cheek pieces in the Chester Vase. So that wouldn't put me off.
Fair enough. What were you doing then when J-Rod was revealing that stat that you needed it reiterating? Did you zone out there?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to make sure exactly what he said, because all week the replays from Chester over the years have been on, and I just noticed that Ruler of the World wore a cheek piece at Chester. So that my ears were pricked. So I just wanted to get my facts right.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to the 325 at Lingfield. It's the 7 furlong Novibet Chartwell Stakes, a Group 3, 4 fillies. And a decent field. Hopefully all eight will stand their ground and then we can have some each-way betting. And it's pretty open, Graham Temple.
Yeah, Chris Wall's Double or Bubble tops the market at 5-2. Bounce the Blues is a 3-1 shot. 100-30 Isabella Giles. 6-1 Oksana. Parents Prayer is a 7-1 shot. And it's 16-1 Bardos.
And we'll stick with you for the first tip.
I think an interesting one in this is Bounce the Blues for Andrew Balding. Balding's horse has been going really well lately. This one used to be trained by JJ Fien in Ireland, and it ran quite well in a listed contest last time out. I think the drop of furlong in distance looks absolutely ideal. And with you guys mentioning the likely overnight rain, it's interesting to see that this horse has also won on soft when it was trained in Ireland. So Bounce the Blues for me.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Graham Rodway.
Not one of my strongest selections of the day, but this has been my horse to follow for the year, Isabella Giles. So I'm not going to desert her, even though I was a little bit disappointed with her first time out run at Newbury when she finished three lengths behind Alcohol Free in the Fred Darling. But I do like the way that she goes through her races. She really powers through her races, and maybe she just found the ground a little bit too quick for her that day. Last season, she was a very good horse with plenty of cut in the ground. So I'm going to take a chance and stick with Isabella Giles.
Thank you very much, Graham and DJ.
No, boring for me, Bruce. I think the favourite will win, Double or Bubble. I was very impressed at Newmarket. Very interesting listening to Chris Wall afterwards saying the problems she had and why we haven't seen her that often. She just looked to me like one of these fillies that was going to take the season by storm. Like, she put clear daylight between herself and some pretty good fillies, I thought, that day. Like, it wasn't a bad race. Eastern World was favourite for Godolphin, and she really hit the line hard. Ground is obviously a bit of an unknown. She's never raced on anything worse than good, but I just think she's a real improving filly. I wouldn't be surprised if she won a Group 2 by the end of the season. So Double or Bubble for me.
Thank you, chaps. Just the four runners go to post for the other Lingfield ITV4 race. It's at 4 o'clock. It's the 7.5 furlongs. Download the Novibet app handicap. Graham, take us through the betting.
Yeah, just the four runners for this. Turn on the Charm for James Fanshawe as your 5-4 favourite. Eton College, 11-4, 3-1 Assad. And the Rag of the Four is Love Dreams at 6-1, Bruce.
J-Rod, whenever you get these races that promote an app, there's always a temptation to think it's an apprentice race, isn't there? I always get caught out by that. But we've got William Buick, Ben Curtis, and a couple of other established jocks. So it's not an apprentice race. Who's going to win it?
No, yeah, certainly not an apprentice race. I've actually backed Ben Curtis to win the jockey's title this year.
Oh, have you? It's going to be interesting. Now, I think it's going to be a really interesting battle this year.
Yeah, it looks great, doesn't it? We've got obviously Oshin and William Buick's obviously on one in this race. But Ben Curtis has had a great winter on the all-weather and he's off to a flyer. And he works so hard, I think he'd be up and down the country for winners. And I'm hoping that he's going to come home in front on this one for Mark Johnston, Eton College. Typical sort of Mark Johnston horse. I mean, in and out, bounce right back to form one nicely at Musselburgh, then disappointing last time behind Double or Bubble. But, I mean, we had a Racing Post rating of 93 for the Musselburgh in. He's only running off 86, so that's +7. Now, I think if he comes back to that form, he could win this race off that mark, Eton College.
Thank you very much indeed. And but I spoke to Tom Marcond at the start of the year, and I think he fancies having a crack at the jockey's title as well. So it should be a good battle. Have you got a thought on who might be champion jockey, DJ?
What price do you back Ben Curtis at, Rudders?
I did get 5-1, but I think he's around about 7-2 now. As soon as I put my money on it, they cut it.
Yeah, well, yeah. That always happens, doesn't it, when you place a bet, G-Rod?
Oh, it does. Yeah.
I think Curtis will definitely have by far the most rides, so you're obviously going to have a decent chance. He's a lovely guy. I loved him when he was in Ireland, so I'd love to see him doing it.
Excellent. Who wins this then, DJ?
I think this is relatively straightforward, Bruce. I think Turn on the Charm will win it. You just go back to that performance last time at Nottingham, and I don't think there's been a race this season that has worked out better. The winner, Astro King, ran fine under a penalty next time, was only beaten 3/4 of a length. The second finest sound won next time. Nugget was third, and we all know what Nugget has gone on to do. Nugget won, obviously, the big Spring Cup at Newbury, and then should have won the Thirst Cup as well. And Turn on the Charm was fourth, and things didn't go according to plan there. It took a long time for the gap to open for Danny Muscat, and I just thought, given the strength of that race and given how poor this race is, I thought this was probably the bet of the day, Bruce, Turn on the Charm.
Oh, okay. Grand Temple, what about you?
I think this is one of the most interesting races of the day, and a lot of it will be down to the instructions given to the jockeys. Asad and Love Dreams are both likely to be looking for the lead, and if the trainers tell their jockeys to make sure they get the lead, the two of them could end up going too fast and cutting each other's throats, particularly if their going turns out to be soft, as many of us expect. Graham has just mentioned there that Eton College is a bit of an in and out character. He's certainly very much Jekyll and Hyde. But with Mark Johnston getting at least one winner every day, I know he keeps the ball rolling. I know he's got loads of horses, but he keeps getting winners. I wouldn't be surprised to see Eton College pick up the pieces later on. Although I agree, Turn on the Charm is a huge chance here. It's another finisher. I just think in a four-runner race, Eton College at 11-4 could be worth a little bit of a dabble.
You've had an argument with yourself again there, Graham. You're always flagging up the fact that Mark Johnston has a winner every day. He has 3,000 runners every day. Of course he has winners every
this
day.
This is it. You highlighted that last year. But when I'm doing my normal day job, I highlight stats. Do you know that at one stage last year, Mark Johnston went something like 120 runners without a winner? So I'm just saying that his stable remains in good form.
Righty-ho, that was Lingfield. Ascot next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at Ascot and Haydock now. Four more ITV races from those two venues. The 155 at Ascot is the Tote Plus exclusively at tote.co.uk. British EBF Fillies Handicap. Far too long a title. 1 mile the trip. And let's see how they bet. I think Tom Marcond and Ed Walker have the market leader here, don't they, Graham?
They do. Dream Loper is a 5-2 shot at top of the market. Lights On for Sir Michael Stout, 11-4. 100-30 Conservatoire for William Haggis. It's 7-1 Thank You Next. 9-1 Hold Fast and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest.
David Jennings, lead on.
Oh, that's a hard one to lead on with, Bruce.
They're all hard, aren't they? These three races at Ascot are brutal, and the Haydock race, oh my goodness.
I think you've gone from the easiest race of the day at Lingfield to the hardest race of the day at Ascot. This is really tough. I'm going to chance Thank You Next. Now, with no real confidence, I just thought the run at Kempton last time was slightly better than you might think. Yes, he finished last of three, but I just thought she ran better than where she finished. She kind of just tempted to get into it. She looked threatening and then she just didn't. That was over a mile, and I think the mile does suit. Richard Hannon's team are in good form. Look, any of these could win. This is a terrible argument. I won't have a bet, but I'm going to give a tip and it's Thank You Next.
Thanks, David. What about you, Graham Temple?
This is a really interesting race for me again, and I am quite strong on a horse called Hold Fast. Andrew Balding's horses are in really good form, and this horse actually ran in the Ribblesdale, a Group 2 event at Ascot last June, so it's got course form. Having said that, they had to send a search party out for it to finish last, but it's fit from the all-weather, and this is the first time that Sylvester D'Souza has had the leg up on this horse. Again, the price being the swaying factor, I think at 9-1, it's a real tempter each way. Hold Fast.
Thank you very much, Graham. The loosest ever use of course form, I must say. But okay, we'll go with Hold Fast for Graham Temple. And who for Graham Rodway?
I thought this was fairly straightforward, provided the ground doesn't go really soft. And Ascot, of course, isn't like Lingfield. It won't really get bog-like quickly there, so hopefully it will hang on. And if there's good ground there, I think Dream Loper is a class apart from them for Ed Walker and Tom Marquand. I thought that she won well at the course last season and shaped nicely first time out after racing very freely in the early part of the race at Goodwood over 7 furlongs, a trip that would have been too sharp for Dream Loper. So provided the ground doesn't get really tested in, Bruce, I'll be quite confident Dream Loper can win.
I think it's good. I think it has to get testing ground because they've had to water it. It has been so dry lately.
You know what, literally, just as I was reading that out, the ground in the top of our Racing Post website changed from good to soft.
Yeah, it's good to soft already. Now, they cannot risk, they know this rain's coming, but they can't have it too firm for the Friday meeting. So I think it's going to get soft. So anyway, we'll see. I mean, it's difficult enough when you know what the ground's going to be. When you're not sure, it makes it all the harder. Let's move on to the 2:30 at Ascot on Saturday. It's the Tote Plus Pays More at tote.co.uk. Buckhound Stakes, listed race, 1.5 miles. Another open contest, Graham.
Yeah, Simon and Ed Crisford's without a fight is the favourite at 3-1 for this. Dejaz a 5-1 shot, 11-2 Alba Flora. Lost Eden is 6-1. It's 8-1 Roberto Escobar, having his first run following a wind up, and 10-1 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
And we'll stick with you, Graham Temple. Who do you like here?
I like Alba Flora in this. This horse was beaten ahead here at Ascot over 2 furlongs further in a small field on soft ground last October. And Rafe Beckett, more than half of his runners over the last 2 weeks have finished either first or second. If the ground swings soft, it'll suit. The trainer's in form and the drop and trip should suit as well. At 11-2, Alba Flora each way.
That's a very strong case there, Graham. G-Rod, do you agree?
No, I don't make this one of my strongest selections, but I do think that Gold Maze might be a little bit better than them. He was contesting very good races last season. I think he ran in the Derby when he was trained by Jessica Harrington in Ireland. Quite an interesting trainer change, isn't it? Jessica Harrington over to Roger Varian, who obviously had a fantastic season in just these sorts of races last year. I mean, he won, his form figures with runners over 1 mile, 4 mile, 6 were amazing. He was just winning left, right and centre. So I think you'll definitely see Gold Maze win races this year. I'm going to stick with him. I'm just not 100% sure if he's going to be fully wound up. So that's why he's not one of my strongest selections. But I do like him as a horse going forward.
He was 9th in the Derby at odds of 150-1. There you go. David Jennings?
Roberto Escobar, Bruce, one of my horses to follow for the season. Obviously, like, he's had a wind up and this is a strong race to be making your seasonal reappearance, but this is a very good horse. I'm convinced of it. When he won at York, it was a novice race. It wasn't even a maiden. He hadn't even won his maiden and he ran in this race. Matthew Flinders was second. He absolutely obliterated Matthew Flinders. Bet Matthew Flinders 4 lengths. Matthew Flinders was very unlucky at Newbury last time. He was rated 99. The third, Semser won next time and Thurmor won since as well. I think the wind up hopefully will have helped. And the ground, he's a half-brother to Pablo Escobar, who was second to Anthony Van Dyke in the Lingfield Derby trial on soft ground. So he should be able to cope with conditions. And to me, yes, he's starting off 103, which is not easy. It's quite a way to be starting the season. I thought he might progress through handicaps, but he's straight into a listed race. And I just think if the wind up has done what it's supposed to do, I think this could be a very, very good horse. Roberto Escobar.
Okay, we will stick with Ascot next. It's the 3:40, the 7 furlongs Tote Plus Victoria Cup. And if you thought the previous Ascot races were hard, they got nothing on this. 29 runners. It is brutal. It's 8-1 the field, Graham Temple.
Yeah, and Paddy pushing the boat out with the extra places in this. We're going 6 places in the Victoria Cup, one of the feature races on Saturday. Our betting acquitted 8-1. Motokayel is a 9-1 shot alongside Raising Sand. It is 10-1 after that. Chief of Chiefs, Fox Champion, Kaiser Soze, Sunset Breeze and 12s and bigger the rest.
Okay, I shall back Raising Sand and then get my money back when it's pulled out for whatever reason. Who are you going to back, David Jennings?
River Nymph is the one that I like here. This is really interesting. Like, there's so many in this, Bruce. I'm sure you can see where I'm coming from here, that that you know so well, that you know inside out, and you're like, oh God, if that wins, I'm going to be sick. But just as regards River Nymph, River Nymph is drawn 20. I'll just find it here. River Nymph is drawn 24.
24.
Yeah, and I just went through it. Like Gabriel's Lad won it from 25. Speculative Bid, who won it in 2015, was drawn in 23. Flashfire was 29. So the draw, I think, could be more of a help than a hindrance. And I think with River Nymph, ran in the Lincoln and was actually put up by Hugh Taylor in the Lincoln. And I don't think he quite gets a mile. I really don't. I think seven is his trip. He's won over the course. Yes, he's run off 100 now. And he's never, the highest mark he won off prior to this was 90. So he's £10 higher than his last winning mark. But just the way he travelled through the Lincoln, he made his ground up in the mid part of the race. And he actually, I think he went about 4 or 5 to 1 in running on Betfair. He looked like he might be a big challenger furlong. I don't think he got home. I think Ascot, 7 furlongs, high draw, perfect for River Nymph. So around about 18 to 1, I think. Only 12s with Paddy Power, actually. River Nymph is the one that I'm going to side with.
Talking of horses that you're always backing and they win, who's that old sprinter that you used to put up every single week and he'd always finish 5th or 6th and then he won first time out? Who am I talking about? The name escapes me.
Was it Count d'Orsay? No?
No, it's got one word. You always used to put it. It'll come to me. Never mind. Graham Temple, who do you fancy here?
Talking about group form and a handicap here, guys, there's a horse in this called Fox Champion. Again, it's the Rafe Beckett factor with Sylvester D'Souza in the saddle. But this horse has not won a race since it won the 2019 German Guineas. And its very next race after that, it finished 7th, beaten less than 5 lengths in the St. James's Palace Stakes here at Ascot. Since then, it hasn't won. It's been tumbling down the handicap. There's no flies on Rafe Beckett. And the only negative is if it turns up soft, I won't back it at all. I don't think soft ground would suit it. But if the rain stays away, Fox Champion has to have a huge chance at 10 to 1.
Okay, and Graham Rodway.
Yeah, I really do fancy one in here, Bruce. I don't think it's that difficult at all. I'm hoping it's going to work out that way anyway until I see them all line up across the track and go, oh, no, what have I done? Yeah, Chief of Chiefs. I thought that it was a very eye-catching run first time out in the listed Camage Trophy over 6 furlongs at Donny. I mean, the horse finished absolutely full of running, having made a mess of the start and done an awful lot wrong. I think this would have been the target since the start of the season. In fact, I'm pretty certain it would have been. The last year's Wokingham winner, of course, so has got good form at the track and definitely handles a little bit of cutting the ground. Now, Jamie Spencer is riding, coming out of stall 15. He'll be hiding Chief of Chiefs all the way up there, Ascot Straight, trying to pounce late. Really do fancy him, Chief of Chiefs, each way. I'll be absolutely desperately disappointed if he can't make the frame at least. What, 6 places? Oh, fingers crossed for a place at the very least.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, G-Rod. Let's switch our attention to Haydock. They've got one race on ITV4 tomorrow, and it is another tough one. It's the 3:10. It's a 2-mile Swinton hurdle handicap with a zillion runners and a wide open market, Graham.
Yeah, Copperless tops our market of 5 to 1. Defining Battle is a 13-2 shot, 7 to 1 Comprond. Roland Ward for Stuart Edmonds is a 7 to 1 shot as well. 15-2 Shan Rowe, 8 to 1 Hooper, 9 to 1 Balinsker, 10s and bigger the rest.
And what have you got for us, Mr. Temple?
I had a chat with one of our guys in the booth because I couldn't figure this race out. And I said, here, throw us a horse for the 3:10 at Haydock. And PK, I tell you one thing, he did his homework. He's gone for Politicize. And he said the recent form figures are poor. It's a rare runner over hurdles in the UK for Ado McGuinness. And significantly, Darrow O'Keefe is back in the saddle. He's ridden the horse 8 times. He's won on it twice. He's placed on it 3 times. It's a nice big price. So Politicize each way, lads.
Oh, I wouldn't back an Irish horse running in Britain. When do they ever win? Graham Rodway.
Yeah, a very, very difficult race, isn't it? A race we love, of course, the Swinton. You know, it probably isn't the race that maybe it once was. But I had a quick look at it and thought, well, Evan Williams trains the winner every year and he's got Balinsker in it. And I think that one might run well. But it's not a race that I've got a strong view on and not one that I'll be playing in.
OK, I'll let you into a little secret, DJ. I used to get all my motoring insurance through a company called Swinton. And one of the reasons I stayed with them is because they sponsored this race, or I thought they sponsored this race. I thought, well, you know, they're a good company. They sponsor horse racing. I use them. And then one year it had another sponsor on it. It's actually named after the town of Swinton nearby. What an idiot. Who do you fancy?
I don't think I'm quite over Aintree yet with Copperless. In our Liverpool group, I put it up in the group. I said, this is the best bet of Aintree. This is the best handicap hurdle running all week at Aintree. We have to back Copperless. And of course, with a name like Copperless, obviously I was going to get a few jibes saying we'll be Copperless when it's beaten, blah, blah, blah. But like, it was just glorious to watch for whatever, 6 of the 8 hurdles. And Lewis Stones was absolutely tanking. We had our Stones on it. And then obviously he came down at the second last.
Do you think he would have won, DJ?
Ah, but sure, like, it's impossible to know. He was absolutely pulling the cart, and it was the second last. It was only, whatever, 2.5 furlongs to go. So I honestly don't know. The one thing I will say was he did something at Taunton, which I thought was quite extraordinary when Aidan Coleman was on him. Down the back straight at Taunton, he was on the inside, jumping well, loads of cover. And Aidan Coleman was so confident of this horse's ability that he went from being completely on the inside to wide on the outside down the back straight. It was a manoeuvre I've never really seen at Taunton. And he absolutely bolted off from Shez Hands, who's run well a couple of times since. And that day, I just said to myself, this one off 117, if it gets less than £10, he's some certainty next time out. He got £6. He's added another 3 to it. So he's now £9 higher than he was at Taunton. But I think he's got loads of pace. The turn of foot he showed that day at Taunton. And it's not easy to do it after the last. The running is quite short at Taunton. I thought he was seriously impressive that day. He hadn't been asked for his effort at Aintree. He's rated 126. I'd imagine they think he's far better than that. It's a good race. There's 17 runners. He'll need luck in running. He'll need to jump well. But he's definitely, in my eyes, the best handicapped horse in the race. And it's one of these where if it was a different type of race, he'd be 5-2, not 5-1.
Well, what sort of different type of race? An easier one?
No, I just think with these big, big handicaps, we've got loads of runners. It's a traditional race. I often think that horses are slightly bigger prices than they should be. And to me, he's a 5-2 shot, not a 5-1 shot.
OK, that's the ITV4 action done. Loads more weekend wisdom in a matter of seconds.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hi there. It's part 3 of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and from Paddy Power, Graham Temple. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. No fewer than 9 meetings in Britain and Ireland. Loads and loads of stuff. What have we got? We've got the rest of Ascot, the rest of Haydock, the rest of Lingfield. We've got Nottingham. We've got Hexham. In the evening, we've got Warwick, and we've got Thirsk. And in Ireland, we've got Cork, and we've got Nace. And there's some good races there. So without giving your naps away, lads, let's see what else you fancy. We'll start with Graham Temple.
There's some really good racing at Nace, and I've gone for one of their races there to pick one out. Anyone that knows me likes, I like to back horses at each way prices, and Emania for Dermot Weld catches the eye in that 240 at Nace. It's entered in the Oaks, it's 33-1 shot for that. It was really impressive at Cork on August the 8th, and on its most recent start, it had loads of excuses. The ground was heavy and it stumbled really badly at the start. Looked a really talented horse at Cork on when it won. And I think at 8-1, Emania has to be my other play from elsewhere.
Thank you very much. G-Rod?
Yeah, my other one is at Nottingham, and it's called Manhattan and Power. And I think
what race is it in?
It's in the 220, Manhattan and Power. And last time I tipped this horse at Chelmsford, it was beaten 30 lengths over a mile and 6 furlongs. We had Oisin Murphy on it. First run for the, you know, the horse watchers and Mick Appleby. And I'm just so disappointed with him. And it just reminds me of another horse that was called Tickway or something. Anyway, the other horse, Tickway, was owned by sort of some partnership, I can't remember. And they had a good jockey on it first time. Then they put this fella, Frederick Larson, on it. And this fella, Frederick Larson, claimed £7. I'd never heard of him before. And he almost won on this thing at Tickway at 25-1, having sort of taken him and put him on it instead of a good jockey. And now sort of, we've got the Horse Watchers doing the same here with Oisin Murphy, and they've replaced him with Frederick Larson, claim seven. I just get the feeling that they think this Frederick Larson is all right at Mick Appleby's, you know. And he claimed £7. And it's just a complete shot from the blue. But I just think it's going to win. Mahakkanen and Power.
I don't know why that's really made me laugh.
The commentator will have fun.
I'll tell you why you're laughing, Bruce, because Rodders has just made a case for a horse that was absolutely hammered last time. And his case is because Oisin Murphy rode it last time and there's this inexperienced jockey on him now. That's why you're laughing.
You set me off there. Right, DJ, what have you got for us?
Never change, Rodders. Never, ever, ever change, because the world would be a much more boring place without you.
Yeah.
Incredibly, even more incredibly than Graham Rodway's selection, my strongest fancy at Nace is actually Graham Temple's selection, Emanaya. When Emanaya won her maiden at Cork, I thought it was one of these performances that screamed a classic contender. Oisin Orr never came out of second gear. She actually didn't come off the bridle at all. And I thought she was a good thing next time at the Curra. It was a good race. It was a good race. I'll give you that. It was a group three, and you know, there were some decent horses in it. Aidan O'Brien ended up winning it with Divinely. But I told everybody to back this Emanaya, as she's a star. And literally after 20 yards, it was just all over. It all ended in tears. She stumbled out of stalls. Oisin Orr almost came off her, and it was just a disaster from start to finish. But I do think she's a good filly. I think she's a bit of class. Dermot Weld has a good record in this race. He won it with Ternawa. He won it with Zukova, and he won it with Tarfasha. So he does tend, if he's got a really good kind of three-year-old filly, he does tend to aim them at the blue wind. And I just wonder with this Emanaya. I think if you put it this way, if she didn't run at the Curra, and there was blatant excuses, she was eased up when beaten, she would be half the price she is now. So I think Emanaya in the 240 at Nace, the blue wind, is my one for Nace on Saturday.
Thank you very much, chaps. It's time for the Saturday Naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with G-Rod.
It's Chief of Chiefs in the 340 at Ascot.
Thank you. David Jennings.
I'm going to keep it simple, Bruce. I'm just going to tip a winner. Turn on the charm in the 4 o'clock at Lingfield.
Thanks, DJ. Graham Temple.
Bounce the blues in the 325 at Lingfield. The drop and trip looks ideal.
Thank you very much, chaps. Let's hope anyone who does doubles or the treble there gets some joy out of those. Right, let's turn our attention to Sunday, because there's a really, really good card at Leopardstown featuring the 1,000 Guineas trial and the Derby trial. We've got the Amethyst Stakes as well, so loads to get stuck into. Before we get DJ's thoughts, we should really probably get a Derby show, because that 3:15, the Derrinstown Stud Derby trial, features Bolshoi Bally and Max Swiney, who are both very prominent in the Derby lists, aren't they? What's the latest from Paddy Power and the Derby, Graham?
We've got three co-favourites at 5-1, High Definition, Bolshoi Bally, we just mentioned, and Mohafet, who won last weekend at Newmarket and probably would have won the 2,000 guineas if it was in it. 8-1 Van Gogh after that, 9-1 Max Swiney, 12s bar in the Derby.
Okay, who will advance their claims, do you think, on Sunday, David Jennings?
Jeez, it's some mess of a market, isn't it? God, it's the most open Derby I can ever remember. You could actually make a case for 25 of them in there. You really could. The one that I'm going to chance here is Taipan for Jessica Harrington. This is a horse that looked badly in need of its first run, and I thought it was an absolutely cracking effort in the Ballysacks. Yes, he was third to Bolshoi Bally. He has 2.25 lengths to make up, but, you know, it had to squeeze through a gap on the inside, and, you know, things just didn't go according to plan. I spoke to Jessie about this colt earlier on the season. She said, this is definitely my Derby horse. If I have a Derby horse, this is it. Only had 2 starts, open to a huge amount of improvement. Now, obviously, it's got that ground to make up with Bolshoi Bally. Max Sweeney is rated 116. So it's got a big leap to find, but it's had the run. I think that's going to bring on Taipan a ton. And I don't know what price he is at the minute in the Derby market, Graham, but it's one of these that he could be 50-1 or something. And it could just be one you could stick a fiver on and you'd have a really good position heading to Epsom, because I think he's a good colt.
Excellent. Is there anything else you like on Sunday, David?
There is, yeah. I think the 1,000 Guineas trial is an interesting race. And there's a couple in here that are on retrieval missions after kind of starting their season quite poor. Dermot Weller has got Chandra in there, who was quite impressive when winning a maiden. And the one that I'm going to go for here is Joan of Arc for Aidan O'Brien. Now, Joan of Arc is one of those that's on a retrieval mission. She was disappointing last time at Leopardstown, but I just thought that day she was a big drifter in the market. She went off 7-1. She was there and she had every chance of furlong out. And then she just was kind of found wanting. Maybe it was class that found her out, but you know, she was a big jump from winning the maiden into that race. And I think there's more improvement to come. I like these O'Brien fillies that come out really quickly. This is going to be three runs in the space of basically 3 weeks. And I think that's going to do her the world of good. So I go for Joan of Arc in that 1,000 Guineas trial at 2:45.
Marvellous. Thank you very much indeed. And oh, I just noticed, by the way, Paddy Power 33-1 Taipan for the Derby. Grand Temple, anything for us at Leopardstown on Sunday?
I like Max Sweeney in the 3:15, the Derby trial, clearly a stable star. And Jim Bolger does so well at Leopardstown as well. I'd sway for him in that 3:15. And then quickly, two of the other big races, the 2:15, Joseph O'Brien's Raise You drifted markedly left when scoring on April the 17th at the Curra. So this circular track with a left-leaning rail would certainly suit Raise You. If it was an interesting price, I might back that one. And another interesting Dermot Weld one in the 2:45 Chandra. It was a bit keen, but there was no whip needed on its Curra debut last August. And that's another one that could be a bit talented as well. So Raise You in the 2:15, Chandra in the 2:45, and Max Sweeney. It's going to take a good one to beat that one in the Derby trial at 3:15.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Graham Temple. Thank you, Graham Rodway. And thank you, David Jennings. Most of all, I thank you for listening. It's always great to have your company. We're back next Friday looking ahead to Lockinge Day at Newbury. In the meantime, do please join Maddie and the gang on the Monday show, where she and the team will look back on the weekend and also look ahead to some great midweek action from York. Keep it here with more great racing podcasts.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.